precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, what do we have here? Gambling, lottery, bingo games, you got it. All kinds of incredible stuff going on today out there in our materialistic world. Can you imagine a 20-year-old won a $58.9 million lottery? She said, I have no idea what I'm going to do, says Erica Green of Georgia, a first-time player of the big game. Other winners bought their tickets in Illinois and New Jersey. I'm telling you, money corrupts. Can you imagine being 20 years old and winning a jackpot? And I'll tell you one thing. This is the moral decline of our country. We have legalized most of the vices, and we've legalized gambling, smoking, drinking alcohol beverages, and there's at least one state in this nation that has pretty much legalized prostitution. And you're going to tell me that God's going to bless this country as long as we forsake the living God? God cannot bless this country. And the Bible has a lot to say about gambling. But first of all, I want to just read from this article that some of the comments that were mentioned regarding this 20-year-old who won this big lottery. She evidently collected $50.9 million pre-tax dollars for picking the right numbers in the big game lottery. So how will one so young be affected by all that money? According to psychologists, and psychoanalysis and all those people that waste their time and money to go to see, they say it's going to be a real challenge for her. This family therapist says that his main advice to her and her parents would be to get outside advice from people she can trust. I want to tell you something. She has stepped into a cesspool of lust and a cesspool of vice that's going to lead her down the road to destruction. This dear 20-year-old warehouse worker for a cell phone company says she plans to do just that. I know I'm not going to handle the money myself. So she's going to trust the money into the hands of other vultures who are going to waste most of that money trying to protect her from spending the money. And then she says here, she's not too concerned about leashes. Oh, well, I would be concerned about if I was you. She said, I think the people that are important to me will not be hanging around me for money. Yeah, you are dreaming. And she said, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't dream. I couldn't do anything, she says. Everyone talks about, if I win the lottery, I'm going to do this. I have no idea what I'm going to do. That even makes it more dangerous. She says she's going to quit her job. Well, she decides she's going to do something. And that her main goal was to be a housewife. Well, that should have been her main goal. And that's a good thing. But see what money does to people? It corrupts them. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's right. And so she's already going against what's good for her. She says that she was going to be a housewife, and now she got other plans, evidently. And so she says, I'm still in shock right now. She says, I know what I want. I want my house, and I want my land, and I want my car. Want, 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 want. If that doesn't spell for a greedy mentality that is indicative of our society, this is the want society. I want this. I want that. You know what? I train my children. I train them not to say I want anything. They would like this, and they would like that. I guess the only exception would be I want to serve God with all my heart, the soul, and my might. Outside of that, we don't have no right to want anything. Well, I pray for this dear girl. I pray that somehow she'll be delivered from this. And if she really wants to do, if she really wants to get done with this money in the right way, she ought to just return it and say, I don't want any of that filthy lucre. Greediness in our society is of epidemic proportions. Now let's turn quickly to some Bible verses to see whether gambling or the lottery, which is two peas in the same pod, and bingo for money and playing cards, all that junk. Let's see what the Bible has to say, because the Bible's the truth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You see, coveting is when a person is not content with the things that he has. And therefore, for example, if he's not content with his house, he'll look for a more expensive house with more luxury and convenience. If he's not satisfied with his wife, he'll be looking after other women and eventually commit adultery. He's coveting other wives, other men's wives, especially his neighbor's wife. See, he's not satisfied with the blessings of God. You know, Solomon wasn't satisfied with the fact that God blessed him with more wisdom than any man on the earth at that time. And God warned him about marrying all these women and amassing all these horses and increasing all his goods. You know what the Bible says? He eventually had married 700 wives. Can you believe that? And 300 concubines, which are basically were second-class wives, second-class citizen wives. And guess what? These women turned his heart, Solomon's heart, against the Lord and caused him to elevate the idols of the world. He should have been content. He should have been content. King David himself had the blessings of God probably more than any man in his lifetime, yet he was not content. And one day he looked outside the window, and there she was. And he coveted after her, Bathsheba. And you know the rest of the story. He wound up having to kill her husband in order to have her. I'll tell you what, sin begets sin, and sin begets more sin. And before you know it, you have sown evil and wickedness, and you're going to reap the whirlwind. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity, and surely lottery and gambling and any kind of things associated with this love of money shall be diminished, the Bible says. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. In other words, a person that works with his hands by the sweat of his face, God will bless that. He will increase. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27, he that is greedy of gain, don't tell me lottery is not motivated by greed of gain. Oh, what if I win all this? Oh, I'll be rich. I'll be a millionaire. I'll be able to buy myself a big boat and a big car and a big house. I'll be able to have anything I want. But the Bible says he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. It's not going to do good for you. It's all it's going to do is cause you problems. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 21, the Bible says an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Proverbs 23, verse 5 talks about neither desire thou his dainty meats from those who have an evil eye. Proverbs 28, verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. You say, what does all this have to do with Israel, prophecy, and end times? Well, it has a lot to do with the end times because we see that the world's becoming so materialistic. They could care less about the things of God. And what has it to do with Israel and our burden to reach him? Because those who name the name of Christ, many of them are wasting their money. Can you imagine how much money can be saved if you would stop wasting your money on stuff you don't really need? It's not even healthy for you. For example, drinking Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all that stuff's not good for you. You know, you could save a lot of money if you just put that money away and help us buy Bibles. This is an example of what I'm talking about. We waste so much money. You know, instead of fixing our car, we've got to buy a new car. All this money being wasted while there's people starving to death and while people are starving for the Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Now, when it comes to money, it starts out when you're young, like 20 years old, like that girl who won that big lottery. And then it stays with you as you grow up. And a good example of this is all this WorldCom and corporate mismanagement and thievery and stealing from the accounts of their retirement accounts of the employees. I mean, that is terrible. That's outrageous. And finally, some of these men who are responsible for this are getting their just reward. Now, I'm reading an article here in the USA Today, which most of what I've mentioned already is based on that documentation, that this particular fella, Evers, severance was $1.5 million a year for the rest of his life. Financially troubled WorldCom said that he would borrow $2.65 billion to guarantee it had enough cash while negotiating a bigger, longer-term credit line. The number two long-distance carrier owner of MCI also disclosed a severance package it gave the former CEO, Bernie Ebers, who quit last month amid concerns about the company's viability and his debts to it. WorldCom has been under pressure as investors fear it may have to file bankruptcy protection and faces a cash crunch that could keep it from paying off debts. The company sought to reassure investors, "We certainly think we have liquidity for all periods." In a Securities and Exchange Commission filing, WorldCom detailed Evers' severance package. Now, here's an example of greedy corporate America. He will receive an annual pension of $1.5 million for the rest of his life. His current wife will get $750,000 annually for life if she survives him. Evers also gets limited use of the company's aircraft, plus medical and life insurance benefits, and the right to lease office space. Can you believe that? That's outrageous. In return, Evers promised to be available as company consultant for 5 years. Also, Evers, WorldCom, and MCI stock options vested immediately. Most of them are worthless because WorldCom stock is trading at far less than Evers' strike price. Evers' package, although generous in light of what he owes the company, is not unusual. So, the company loans, the former CEO's loans total $408 million, up from a previously reported $366 million. The higher amount includes $36.5 million WorldCom gave as collateral for a third-party loan to Evers. The rest is interest, spokesman Brad Burns says. Evers had said he intends to repay the loans. How about that? So what we got here is greedy corporate America. And you know who pays for all this? The employees pay. And the consumer pays. We pay higher prices. All to fill the pockets of greedy people. The love of money is the root of all evil. Proverbs 29, verse 10, the Bible tells us, "The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul." Proverbs 30, verse 14, the Bible says, "There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." Here's the thing about the lottery. Most of the people that play the lottery can't afford to play the lottery. They rob from their children's mouth, whether it be money for food or clothes or, you know, just the normal comforts of life in order to play the lottery. And before you know it, becomes addictive. Just like gambling usually becomes addictive. The lust for money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches." Well, if that's not the lottery, I don't know what is. Here you are, gambling on a hope so that you're going to win something. But God says, instead of trusting in that, you need to trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 9:9, the Bible says, "But they that will be rich Here's what's going to happen to them, folks. Fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. If you know this lady, you ought to copy this broadcast and send it to her. Yeah, I'll tell you what. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. If you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, and you play the lottery, shame on you. I pray God chastises you, and if you don't get right with God, you're going to be in danger to sin unto death. I want to tell you one thing. You are wicked playing the lottery. Who do you think you are? I tell you one thing. I believe most people playing the lottery ain't saved anyhow. But I would suppose that some people who are backsliders and have gotten away from the things of God are now consumed with the things of this world. But I know one thing, a true Bible-believing Christian who loves God and is filled with the Holy Ghost is not going to be seduced to do this stuff. Not if you're living for God, you're going to eschew evil, hate evil, stay away from it, pass by it, turn from it. That's exactly right. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, was very to the point about what happens to people that store all their wealth and fortune. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right now, you could be saving hundreds and thousands of dollars and use it for the furtherance of the gospel to a lost and dying world. But instead, you waste money, buy things you don't really need, not satisfied with God's provision. You know, these kinds of people are the people we need to stay away from, those who are wasters. That's right. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 11, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. That's right. And go on to say in those verses, or with the covetous. How about that? And so, beloved, we're dealing with an epidemic of coveting in this United States of America and throughout the world. Because we're not as wicked in this regard as some other nations, but we're still wicked when it comes to this wicked vice that we should not be a part of. Now, don't go away. We got more coming your way. The news and documentation provided by Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Walk before thee with all of their heart. Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, there is no God like thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you continue to listen to the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast. It's a blessing and encouragement to us. There's people listening from all around the world. And we're thankful to God that it has helped people come to know Christ as their Messiah, their Savior, their Lord, their God. And many, many hundreds and yea, thousands of lost sinners have come to know the great King of Glory as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you don't know what that means, you ought to write us, and we'll send you information about more in detail how you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, for the last half of the broadcast, at this hour, we want to continue on this message by Dr. Ronnie Simpson, Till It Comes. And it's a great message. So be prepared to be blessed by the Word of God as it goes forth with power.
I can't fathom all that, but I'm glad to say He did it all. I'm glad you don't have to add a thing to it. I'm glad there's nothing else that has to be done. That everything was done. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered our sin for us. He learned obedience. It was made perfect that we could be saved by the grace of God. He went all the way. Now, the Bible tells us about His sacrifice, but what I want to get into tonight is His steadfastness. Well, I want to say Luke 9:51 says that He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. Now, I read in the book of, Matthew chapter number 26, if you'll turn with me, I want to show you these three times that Jesus prayed. Notice what it says in Matthew 26 and verse number 36. Matthew 26, 36 says, Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, unto the disciples. And He said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And then the Bible said in verse 39, that He said, Oh Father, if it be possible, He said, Let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Then in verse 42, He prays the same thing. And I want to say something. In this verse of Scripture, we see that He prays three times the same prayer. Now, what was He saying? He said, Let this cup pass from me. Now, you know where Jesus was, the time frame? The Lord Jesus Christ had just finished what we call the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. But it was a Jewish Passover feast. Now, do you know the most important event in the history of Israel? The most important events were connected with the Passover. In fact, when they come out of Egypt, God said to Israel, This is the beginning of days for you. Can I say something? Passover pictures what Jesus did at Calvary. Now, I want to say the most important day in your life was not when you was born. Well, it's not when you got married, but the most important place in your life is when you got washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that. Hey, from that day on, you came out of darkness into light. You stepped out of death into life. All of a sudden, you went from the bottom to the top. All of a sudden, you went from nasty to being cleaned. All of a sudden, something happened inside of your soul. And you say, under God, why didn't I get saved before thee? It was the most important event in the day of Israel. That you know, on that Passover day, that very same day, throughout the history of Israel, that you know, in Genesis 15, that was the very same day that Abraham sacrificed the ram for Isaac. Did you know that very same day? It's the same day that Abraham entertained guests and Sodom and Gomorrah was burned to the ground and Lot escaped. Did you know that was the very same day that the walls of Jericho fell down? Did you know that's the very same date that Gideon had the dream of the cake of barley bread that sent the Midianites running? Did you know that the same day that the 185,000 Assyrians were slain by one angel? Did you know that's the very same day that Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall? Did you know that the very same date that Esther and the Jews fasted and Haman was executed and Mordecai was set free? Did you know that very same date is the date when Israel's going to be restored to Palestine, that they're going to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years? Hey, everything that we've ever had, everything we are now, everything we'll ever be, ought to be associated with the day that the blood was applied and God saved us by the grace of God. Oh, happy day. Oh, that fixed my choice. I once was a sinner, but there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. That sinner's plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. If you've got a good marriage, that's because of Calvary. I want to tell you, everything that God has ever done for you is based on what Jesus did at Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything that God ever did for Israel was on that date. And everything God's ever done for us is based upon the date that the blood was shed. He said, I want you to remember this Passover from now on. He said, every year. He said, I want you to set aside a week and observe the Passover. Did you know at the first Passover, when they was coming out of Egypt, they came out with their loins girded. They were standing up. They had shoes on their feet and a staff in their hand. They were travelers waiting to take their departure. But did you know when the Passover was reinstituted in Canaan land? Did you know they never did stand up after that? But every time they had the Passover, every time was different. They came out of Egypt dressed for a journey. But every Passover after that, they put on the best clothes that they had. They were not going to a funeral, but they was going to a feast. Hey, you know why? They were supposed to dress like they were children of the King. They were supposed to dress as if they were somebody headed somewhere. Amen. That's the way they sat down at the feast. Now notice the Bible tells us they sat down at the feast. Not only were they to sit down at the Passover feast, but they were to sit down, lean back, and recline. That's the way they're supposed to eat the Passover from there on. Why did he have them to sit down at the Passover when they got into Canaan and to rest and recline? It's because of this. Whenever a slave ate, he stood up. But once somebody become a son in the king's house, he got to sit down, he got to rest, and he got to recline. Thank God, I want to tell you, I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Oh, yes, the devil used to be my daddy. I used to live in a land of bondage. But thank God, I have a place at the Father's table. I can sit down, I can rest, I can recline. Amen. I want to tell you something. The poorest man in Israel had to sit down and recline. Hey, you remember when they had that Lord's Supper? Hey, you know where John was? The Bible said John was sitting down, and he was leaning, and he was lying on the bosom of Jesus. Amen? Hey, I want to tell you something. We're children of the King. Hey, we're not slaves. We're sons. Amen? You know where we have the Lord's Supper every fifth Sunday here? I want to tell you, when we have the Lord's Supper, what do? We sit down, and the bread and the grape juice is given out. Why is it given out? Because every believer is a priest and a king. But why are we sitting down? Because we're no longer slaves under the bondage of sin. But we've been set free. The blood's been applied on the doorposts of our soul. And thank God there's a way made out of Egypt. And God sealed the sea behind us. And we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me. So the Bible tells us Jesus had two prayers answered. The first prayer was, don't let me die in Gethsemane. And the Lord heard his prayer. He learned by obedience. He made perfect. And God heard his prayer. But there was also another prayer request asked. Did you know, I was studying this about the Lord's Supper. Did you know there was not one cup, or two cups, or three cups, but there were four cups at the Passover feast. There were four cups that were drank out of at the Passover feast. Now, the Passover meal began at 6 o'clock Tuesday night and ended 6 o'clock Wednesday night. And that meal was to be partaken, and those four cups of grape juice and water, you know what they drank? Hey, you know what they drank? They drank red fruit of the vine. Red wine. It weren't intoxicating wine. It was red fruit of the vine. But they took water and they poured it in the red wine. You know why the wine was red? That the wine was red to picture the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they put water in the wine to picture the Word of God. We weren't born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. I want to tell you something, folks. God did something for us. Hey, I want to tell you, when Napoleon defeated the armies of Europe, he did it in the blood of his own men. But when the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the armies of the devil, he did it with his own fresh blood through the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I was reading and studying this, and I found out that when they had a Passover feast, any man that lived within 25 miles of Jerusalem had to attend the Passover. And I found out something else. If they had a Passover feast, there had to be 10 men present when they started it. And there had to be 10 men at every action. They drank four different cups at the Passover. There had to be 10 men present at the first drinking. There had to be at least 10 men present at the second drinking. There had to be 10 men present at the third drinking. And when they drank the last cup, there had to be 10 men present then. I want you to remember that. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. And in this chapter, we see the four cups that were used on that Passover night. Now, at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, the first cup of red grape juice mixed with water was drunk in silence. They went in, sat down at the table, and they poured the wine to the 12 disciples. Had to be at least 10 men there, and there was 13. Had to be at least 10 men there. It's amazing how Jesus kept the law. Amen. And did you know here at the book of Luke chapter 22, verse number 14, notice what it says. That when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. There's nothing said there about the first cup being drunk. Now, why didn't the Holy Ghost write it down? Because when they drank the first cup, it had to be done in silence. After they drank the first cup, then the president, the presiding officer, who would be the Lord Jesus Christ, says a few words. He says a few words in verse 15. He says a few words in verse 16. Notice in verse 17, the second cup. And he took the cup and gave thanks. He took the cup and gave thanks. Now, since the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup and gave thanks, he said something, then we have to assume that the first cup has already been drunk. Because it had to be drunk in silence. Can I do something? Isn't that Bible correct? It is so correct. I'm not running out the back door. I'm just not running out the back door. That Bible is so correct. But see, when they took this cup, he started talking. Now, when they took the first cup, they couldn't say anything. But he picked up this cup and gave thanks. Before he drank it, he started talking. So it couldn't be the first cup. It had to be the second cup. Is that right? And then notice the third cup here in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 20. Notice what he said. Likewise, also the cup after supper. There's a cup drank in silence. There's a cup drank after God gave thanks before they ate. And here, they're drinking the third cup after supper. Amen? You see that? And so it was taken after supper. Now, at this time, when they've taken the third cup, they could go out and do as they pleased the rest of the night till 3 o'clock the next day. At 3 o'clock the next day, the same 10 men, at least 10 men, that had drunk the first cup and drunk the second cup and drunk the third cup had to come back together to drink the fourth cup. Are you with me? They could not drink the fourth cup until all the men that drank the first, second, and third cup would come back together to drink the fourth cup. Now, notice here, you know, Jesus in the book of Matthew, I pointed out a little while ago, that he prayed three times, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will." Now, if the fourth cup was to be drunk the next day, Wednesday, at 3 o'clock, we have to say Jesus never drank the fourth cup. Where was Jesus at 3 o'clock on Wednesday? They put him on the cross at 9 o'clock that morning. He stayed on the cross for 6 hours, and at the same time that the high priest was cutting the throat of the lamb down there at the temple, the Son of God was hanging on the cross and cried out, "It is finished." So Jesus was on the cross at 3 o'clock, and he could not have drank the fourth cup. So when he was praying after the third cup, and they were free to go do whatever they wanted to do, Jesus, what did he do? He went down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he was down in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times he prayed, "God, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, as thy will." He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Father, let this cup pass from me." What cup was he talking about? He was talking about the fourth cup.
Well, this is all the time that we have left. We will continue this message, God willing, God helping us, at the next broadcast. Now, we don't want you to go away just yet. We do have some announcements and the end of this broadcast, some information about getting some free literature. But we do appreciate each one that has taken time out of their busy schedule to listen to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. I want you to know from the bottom of our hearts how appreciative we are that God would use this ministry to reach throughout the whole world lost and dying souls. We're not worthy. We don't deserve it, I'll tell you that much. It's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. But we want you to partake. And if you are a Jewish person listening for the first time to this broadcast, may I beseech you, may I plead with you to consider the claims of the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that he is the only one that ever fulfilled one of over 100 prophecies about the coming of the Messiah? That's exactly right. They tell us now that the odds of one person fulfilling one of these prophecies would be as impossible or as difficult as flying over the state of Texas and dropping a coin, let's say 25-piece coin, and then parachuting out of that plane and landing and trying to find out where the coin dropped. What do you think the odds are for that? Well, that's what they're saying. That's what the statisticians are telling us would have been the odds for one person to fulfill one of the biblical messianic prophecies. But Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, fulfilled not only one, but over 100 of those prophecies. You know, just in the book of the prophet Isaiah are over 100 prophecies about the first and second coming of the Messiah. And we trust that you will listen to the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, especially if you're Jewish, that you will turn to the Tanakh, the Torah, and trust in the words of life, the words of God, rather than the precepts of men. Because the precepts of men have led millions astray before, and they continue to do so today. We encourage you to get into the Word of God, search the Scriptures, for they testify of who Jesus Christ really is. Will you search it out? I hope you will.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127. USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127 USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127 USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.